Good evening. Let us turn to the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we'll start reading at the 23rd verse. We'll begin reading there. The 23rd verse, and read through the end of the chapter. The 23rd verse of the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Glad to have our missions tuned in with us tonight and our tape family. May God's richest blessings rest upon you. And we have a gracious number here in the tabernacle tonight. We come together to study the Word of God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, that eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake. For the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thine own, not your own conscience, but of the other. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, those are gracious verses here. And unless we study them, it'd be hard to understand some of these things. But as the Lord gives us understanding, many times I've got to wrestle over some scriptures, and it's hard to understand unless we ask the Lord to help us and we get help from Him. And many times I have to just live these things, these verses of scriptures, through the week and going over and over in my heart and mind. Now, what is the Apostle Paul speaking of here? What does the Lord want to show us here? And so we go over and over again until I get things straightened out in my own heart and mind, and I'm able to tell it to you as it is from the Word of God. Now, we left off with the 26th verse last week. If you remember that, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and how that everything that the earth produces belongs to the Lord. That the earth produces belongs to the Lord. Everything that God's made. I'm not talking about man-made inventions, but I'm talking about the Lord has made himself. Food for man. And all of that hasn't changed. It is still the gift of God, still the fruit of His goodness and His love towards mankind. And so let's look at the 27th verse now. You must remember that the apostle is writing here to the church at Corinth. They were ignorant of many things. And to give them a better understanding, in the knowledge that they have already attained in the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet there were many in the church that were false professors, many who tried to overthrow the faith of some, and many have used their Christian liberty in the sense where others were fell because of it, the weak Christians. And so the apostle is writing to the church of Corinth, mostly to these Christians who were many years, you might say, in the faith, saved by the grace of God, and discussing this privilege of liberty and freedom that we have in Christ. And I have a lot of freedom, a lot of liberty in Christ, but I'm going to use that freedom and liberty for the glory of God and to the salvation of sinners. And that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here. Let's use it for the glory of God and for the salvation of sinners, not for self-gratification. Though many things may do and use may be morally right and never respect, but we've got to consider the other individual. Will it make the other individual fall and question us as Christians? But let us look at that 27th verse. If any of them that believe not, now he's talking, well, of course we're going to that. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, or to a supper, or to dinner, somewhere. I mean, we've had people to invite us out, people who don't know a thing of the Lord. The pastor had. Our late pastor was invited by businessmen to go out. And he went with them because he recognized that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And everything is clean of itself. You know, he's talking about what the Lord gives us, that the earth produces, the ground. Now, let's go on. All right, if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, this deals with, he's dealing with meats here. Is that what the earth, and that also what the earth grows? Vegetables, meats. Primarily speaking of meats here. He's not talking about if intoxicating drinks and things are put before you, that you ought to partake of that. But he's dealing with that specific subject now, is meats. Whatever is set before you, now you eat, because there was a great discussion in the church at Corinth about their eating meats offered to idols. Now let's go on. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. If any of them that believe not, now look at that. That is, if any that invite you who are not Christians, not born again, and that are still unsaved, all right, if they bid you to a feast, not necessarily to a feast in the temple of an idol, it doesn't necessarily mean that, but at his house, his home, if he asks you to partake of his hospitality, and ye be disposed to go. Now, what does that mean, and ye be disposed to go? Well, the Greek rendering here is, and you will to go. You will to go. Now, Paul himself did not approve of this very much, and that it would be better if they would decline the offer, the invitation. In all things, now get this, in all things that are questionable, such as the case before us, believers ought to proceed with caution when we realize that there's a likelihood of falling. That goes for anything. Believers should always proceed into anything with caution when there's a likelihood of them falling. That's something, good instructions here for all of us to learn as a child of God. Should I go to this feast? Should I go to this supper? This individual is not saved, unsaved. Now, you may have friends and all that you know well, and it seems good in your own eyes to go because it'll be more or less him showing hospitality towards you, inviting you over for lunch, not to deal on religious lines and things like that. But what will they have there? Now, I know I've avoided going here and there because of the situation. Well, those things that have arisen at different places I was invited to go to. And so, but the apostle says, now if you are disposed to go, in other words, if you will to go, I'd rather you wouldn't go. I would rather that you have no fellowship with unbelievers. And I would rather that you be separate and not make them a companion of yours. And you find delight in their company. But if you're disposed to go, if you will to go, I can't change that, he said. If you desire to go, well, go ahead. Go ahead then. Whatever's set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. I want to turn to look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Whatsoever is sold in the marketplace, it has the same meaning of this scripture that we gave to you last week. That whatsoever is sold in the shambles, the marketplace, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake. But then of the individual, the marketplace said, now, this was dedicated or sacrificed to idols. Then don't buy it. Do not buy it. But if you go there and it's all hanging up there, the meats are on the counter, and you see it, and you say, well, now I come to buy some meat. How much is this and that? And without questioning, just go ahead and buy it, you see. It's only when they ask the question or they proceed to tell you that now this meat that I'm selling you has been offered or been sacrificed to idols in the temple. Well, that's a different story. That puts a different light altogether on it. Now, let's go. Let's go on. And ye be disposed to go. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, look at verse 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, you're sitting around the table, getting ready, and the host will say, now, this is sacrifice unto idols. Eat not then, the Apostle Paul said, don't eat it. For his sake, that tells it to you, that mentions it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. There's plenty of other things that you can enjoy besides eating that meat that has been sacrificed to idols. In other words, when someone offers you out to dinner, and your host should say to you, now we are eating this today as dedicated to such and such a God, then you are to say, I cannot eat it with you because I am a partaker at the table of the Lord. At the table of the Lord, I'm identified with Him, with His body and with His blood. I'm His body. I'm the church. I belong to the church. And I cannot be a partaker at the table of heathens and then at the table of the Lord. Now, the sense here is if a believer has been warned that what is set before him has been offered in sacrifices to idols, and he realizes that there is danger of causing offense, then he commits a sin against his brother if he does not abstain. Now, we ought to be very careful of the conscience of other people. We who are saved, we ought to be very careful of the conscience of other people. Let's look at 1 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, and begin reading with the first verse. And read this in connection with our lesson tonight. The 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the first verse. Listen to it. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And though thy knowledge shall the weak, through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish or stumble, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh, while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I wish I had that story that our late pastor told about, the story about Mohammed. Along these lines here, I would that I had it. I find it sometime in connection with that verse of Scripture, how he abstained from eating meats, though it was lawful. I don't know who it was. I say Mohammed, but it could have been someone else. Did that to keep from offending his brother or someone in his home that would be offended at him eating meat and pork. I'm going to find that story someday, and I'll give it to you in connection with that. But you've heard the pastor mention it over and over again, and perhaps you have the story right in your mind. Now he goes on to tell us, he's in that 29th verse, he says, Conscience, I say, not your own, but of the other. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? Conscience, I say, not thine own, but of the other. That is, of anyone who may come into such circumstances. We are advised by the apostle to be very careful of the consciences of other people. I am, as a believer, not to allow myself to partake of anything that would mislead those who are weak in the faith. And every believer ought to consider it in that light, that as a believer, I'm not to allow myself to partake of anything that would mislead those who are weak in the faith. How will they profit by it? How will they benefit by what I do? Will they profit by it? Will it encourage them? Will it strengthen them to go on? For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? Now what Paul is saying here is, I am free. And every believer is free. I have liberty to partake of that food if I please. Now he's writing this letter to the church at Corinth. And he's arguing along the lines with them, the same lines about meats and believers' relationship to the weaker Christian or to the awakened sinner or to the ungodly. Now let me repeat this again. The Apostle Paul writing to them, he's saying, now I'm a free man. I'm free. And I have such liberty to partake of that food that's in question, if I please. There is no law against it, and it is not morally wrong if I do so. But if I do, and when I am told that the food had been sacrificial to idols, then my liberty, that means the right which I exercise, it will be misconstrued or misjudged and condemned by others. And I don't want that to happen. I rather avoid those things than to have my life in Christ misconstrued, misjudged, my liberty, my freedom by others. And I'll let that become a stumbling block to others. And the weaker Christians will stumble over it. Though in myself, I know I have all the right in the world to go ahead and do it. We have many privileges, God's children. But we ought to think about the weak consciences of others, and even of unbelievers, the ungodly. Well, it's the same thing as I spoke on this morning in regards to this ministry. That what any one individual or group of individuals does morally wrong and in public and exposed to the public and then you get people to talking and wondering if this ministry stands for what they say they do. I had a wonderful experience just now outside the church. I wasn't going to tell it. With a young man came from across the river, right on the sidewalk, a brother Kwong. He's from California. And he heard me bring that 10 to 11 Bible School of the Air this morning, and the 11 or 12 o'clock message. And he came over. He was waiting, pacing up and down the sidewalk until I pulled up and got out. And he came to me. He looked me in the face. And he said, I put my hand out to shake him. He said, are you the minister here? I said, yes, I am. He said, are you the one who preached that message this morning? Those messages from 10 to 12? I said, I am. Yes. He said, I heard it. I stayed home and I heard it. And I want to tell you how I believe that you believe what you're preaching. I believe that you're preaching the truth. And and that God is resting. He said it in His own peculiar way. God is resting upon you. Because the message came home in power. He said, I thought I'd just come over to tell you that. He said, I would like to come in and worship with you, but I do not have the time. I have to go back. But I will be back in the morning. But I thought I'd come from across the river. I wanted to meet you. And I wanted to tell you how much I appreciate those two messages. And then he said, I have to get on back now. I introduced him to Miss Wylene and my wife and boy and Nancy. But that encouraged me. Now, brother and sisters, if we don't mean what we're preaching, and if we might as well just give up. They note that out yonder. They know what this church stands for and what this pulpit stands for. And that's why God's leading us to make the stand and to take the stand as we are taking today. Though I've suffered through it, and I will suffer through much. But this church is known for the truth. With no compromise. We don't compromise with sin. With anything that will cause others and that will become people begin to gainsay us and say all manners of evils against us. And they can back it up with proof of our lives in what they see, in our conduct, in our conversation, in our actions. Those are the things that gives us away. I don't care how often we come to church or how much we might profess to be saved, but it's our outward conduct that on the outside that proves us if we're a born-again believer or not, or if we're interested in the truth or not, or we want to know Christ or not. That which proves this ministry. Where's the proof of the pudding? It's in the taste, isn't it? And if every one of us has tasted that the Lord is gracious, and then you live that life in Christ Jesus our Lord, that will be commendable not only to those who are within our gates, but those who are outside the gates, those that are listening, because you also have others outside that are waiting for our falling, for our stumblings, and waiting to see if we're any different. I get all kind of different notes, all kind of little peculiar phone calls that are testing us and finding out if we're still holding true, if we're holding the line, as our late pastor did. You'll be surprised how this ministry is being tested. Now we're bringing this up to our day, friends. This is for us today, as it was for those at Corinth. When the apostle was writing at that time, this is for our day. Therefore, the apostle Paul continues, it is better for me to abstain and not to use this liberty in the case, but to deny myself for the sake of others. I want us to turn to the 14th chapter of Romans now. 14th chapter. We'll be closing not too long from now. The 14th chapter of Romans in our Bibles. And let's begin reading from the first verse. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Now that's what the Apostle Paul is speaking here, that we must guard the other individual's conscience. No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For this, to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now Paul, let's go back to that 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul gives serious warnings here that if we use our freedom just as we like, as we please, to satisfy ourselves, and thereby we cause offense to our brethren, the result will be that they will condemn our freedom. Believers should take care not to use their liberty in such a way that it might hurt others. We should be very careful not to use our liberty as God's child to hurt others. Now that's what all that that 14th chapter of Romans had to do with, and what all has been said here tonight, regarding from the Word of God. And this is spoken of from the law of love. The law of love. Love one for another. Love for the brethren. Love for the sinner. And so that's the way the Lord wants us to live. Not to think primarily of ourselves, but of others. 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 Will what I do cause my brother to stumble, whom Christ died for? And his conscience he feels a guilt there. Let not our good be evil spoken of. May God bless His Word tonight. I'm going to let you go. I have about almost 25 minutes after 8. And so the Lord has led us tonight in these few words of admonition. Few words. It has to do with what you may call Christian living as a believer. Let us use our freedom and our liberty for the glory of God. And we can say with the Apostle Paul that I am become all things unto all men, that I might win some. Therefore, I'll omit this, omit that, for the sake of my brother, for the sake of others who might find fault in what I'm doing. I'm not going to let my good be evil spoken of by anyone. But what I do, I'm going to do to glorify the Lord. And so if we take all of these things to heart, and then we're doing what God wants us to do, then we're observing that law, which is higher than any law. It's the commandments of the Lord to love ye one another. This is the first commandment. And to love ye one another. As I have loved you. As I love you. I'm glad you came. I enjoy being with you here tonight. I praise the Lord for this day. And tomorrow, looking forward to the work week. And let's not remember to gather here, if you can, Friday morning at 9 o'clock. And help us to get the special mailing list out. Certainly appreciate all those who did help us this past Monday. What a gracious fellowship we had. And so you come and be with us and continue to pray for us. And as we pray for you at the missions and in the homes, as you're listening to the tapes week by week, may many of you who have not beforehand been rejoicing in the Lord, I hope that you're rejoicing now in Him. And you're looking to Christ, who alone can save you. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to Him to help you over every difficulty, everything, every obstacle. Take your minds off of every believer, every individual who professed to be saved, and look to the Lord, will you? That's what the Lord had to do for me. Take my mind off of everybody. People who even profess to be saved. And even though they might have given evidence that they weren't saved, I didn't know. It was none of my business. But my business was to look to the Lord. Take my eyes off of everyone. And awaken sinner, when you do that, and you get your eyes fixed upon Christ, and then that's when He'll save you. Because He said, look unto me, all ye the ends of the earth, and be ye saved, you see? For I am God, and there is none other beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved. Look to Him, will you? Awakened sinner, look to Him. God grant you the grace that you need, the faith of His elect, that you might look to Him, who alone can save. Let's stand. Our blessed Redeemer tonight, we thank Thee for Thy Word. They're so encouraging, so instructive to our hearts. Give us the grace to live and conduct ourselves according to Thy Word. May Thy Word be a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. May all that we do it as unto the Lord, for Your glory, and that we'll be careful of the things that we do, the liberty we might have, that we might express in our lives. Be careful of it, that it will not offend others. And our Father, but rather go without it and in order to see others brought to know Thee, and to see our brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters, strengthened in the faith as they look at our lives, as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may Heavenly Father, our lives will be an influence upon them. And our Lord, they'll gain strength as they see the grace of God in us, working in us, and strengthening us, and as we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Father, keep us through the week. We need Thee from this time, even this very night, as we make our way back home. And God, guard our people. Watch over them as they cross the river, they go back to their homes, or here in this particular area. Bless each and every individual. Keep us through the week by Thy grace. In Christ's name we ask it, and for His sake, amen.